number 41. We are here doing another K-drama special today. We're going to talk about all sorts of drama things. And I am Angela.
I'm Tatiana.
I'm Alice.
And I'm Judy.
Yay!
So we're going to talk about dramas. And we're going to start that off with the most logical place to start, which is dramas we're currently watching. So I currently just finished up this morning the Chinese drama that I was watching. And it's not even the K-drama. I watched a two-hour drama special. So I'm, like, thinking about what I'm going to do next. The Chinese drama was called Love 020.
Love
020. Yeah, I don't know what the title is about. It's the story of two college students who meet in an online game, like a massive multiplayer online, whatever. And they get, I guess this game has like a marrying function where you can like marry, but the point of marrying players is that you get like access to special quests and stuff. And they meet and have like, they're kind of flirty in that, and then they like meet in real life at the college that they both go to. And that's my kind of stuff right there.
Interesting.
Like, and it's nerdy, and it has some of that, not mistaken identity, but kind of like, you're kind of into two different people, maybe, thing. It was cute. It's also a movie that was produced in the same year, so I'd be interested to see the movie, because the drama did go on for 30 episodes, and it didn't really need that much, I didn't think.
Oh, so they stretched it out a lot.
Yeah, but I was excited because there's a Chinese actor that I've been seeing popping up a lot lately who's really pretty, who was like the male lead in that. Yang, I think is his name. Although it's interesting, I think the director of this Love 020 isn't very good because he, like, the actor, Yang is so stiff.
Oh, really?
Like, he's like a really bad actor. But I was like, I've seen him in two other movies before I saw this drama, and he's good. Like, he's good in those.
Hmm.
So,
Natalie Portman and the Dementis.
Yeah, oh!
Yeah.
The director was another George Lucas!
Transcend their directing or writing or whatever. But then you have people that just might be in the middle that, like, they can be good, but they need that brought out. Because, like, I was watching clips of him in both of the other movies to, like, remind myself, and I was like, no, he has emotion here. He has expressions on his face.
That is interesting how the difference in the director can make a big difference in the actor. That makes you feel like it's not, like, a very experienced actor, you know what I mean? Because, like, once you've been doing it for long enough, you think that you can sort of, like, override the director and be like, I feel like I can do it like this. But what do I know? I don't know anything about acting.
I would recommend it if the, like, summary sounds cute, because it was cute. And then the drama special I watched was the one that aired this week called Drive Me Crazy with Kim Sun Ho, who was the second lead in Strongest Delivery Man. And I saw that in him. I was like, this adorable boy needs to get the lead in a rom-com. And he had a lead in that 2 hour drama special. And it was really, really cute. It was a Friends to Lovers. Not really slow burn, it's 2 hours.
Right.
But, like,
quick,
you know,
burn.
Like, they're in denial about. Aww. Like, some of her friendship. Some forced cohabitation in it. She, like, muscles her way in.
They do that so often that I'm always so surprised. Like, how often are people living together in this? How does this happen?
That was super, duper, 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 duper cute. And I would definitely recommend it.
That's Dimpy.
No, that's, well, it's on Vicky Pass Plus / Coco Wa. So if you have, like, Vicky has two membership levels now because of Coco Wa.
And they still won't let me switch over. I don't know when this is happening that I'm going to get my special switch over.
I mean, you're starting to come up on the anniversary of it being 1 year since you paid for the upgrade.
Yep.
Which is when they said they would upgrade you. So I think that might just...
I don't know what's going to happen.
So I totally watched it on Drama Nice. It's up subbed, high quality on Drama Nice.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. I'm about to, you know, be a full-time subscriber of Kiss Asian if I can't get... everyone else to cooperate with me.
That's a whole separate thing that we could do later. The nonsense that we've been going through lately.
Right.
About where to get your dramas. But we won't do that. We'll move on to dramas other people are watching. Who wants to go next?
This is Judy. I'm watching Yodi's Bed and Breakfast, a reality show about Yodi, who was one of the singers in pop group Bingo back in the late 90s, early 2000s. She went solo and became a pop diva and married this other singer named Lee Sang-soon. And now they live in Jeju-do and they opened up their home to guests.
Oh.
I think these guests, they audition and they get picked. And yeah, some of the guests have interesting backstories, like three siblings who lost their mother.
Oh.
And being raised by their oldest sister. There was a woman who lost her hearing. So you have these people who have their stories, and Hyori, you can just see Hyori just, you know, as a normal human person, instead of, you know, always made up and on stage. And it's interesting to see her personality. She's very candid, funny, yeah, and she's kind of spacey.
Mm-hmm.
That's her concept. She's really slow, really, really slow.
Oh.
It seemed like the bits that I've seen, like Hyori and her husband seem really chill. Like that, just I would totally just stay in their bed and breakfast. It just seems like a really like calm, chill place to be.
Yeah, I don't know. It's also they're very good to each other, but they don't like. She's kind of tough on the exterior, so she doesn't like showing affection. So every time they show affection, she'll end it with like a joke or something and make it not so.
Yeah. I think I relate to that because, like, yeah, I can be like that. So.
Well, also on Jeju Island, it's just like really, it's like a beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm.
So, oh yeah,
this sure, it looks great.
Definitely an appetizer for the whole island. They follow the guests around. They go scuba diving. They go paddle boating. They go to G Dragon Cafe. Until the advertisements die.
But it looks like a really nice. I remember after the November 2016 election, I got into the Korean variety shows a lot more than the K dramas because I don't want drama at all.
Oh.
So, but I wish like that Hyori's Bed and Breakfast had been out then because I think that would have been perfect. It's very just like calm, but still entertaining, like sort of zen.
Yeah.
Sort of a deal.
Yeah.
Nice escapism.
I think it offers healing for the guests and for the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching them just chill and bond, and Hyori and Ayu make food for them. And you just see the guests. At first, when they see Ayu, they're all shocked. They don't expect her, this, you know, superstar singer to be serving them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just see she's a normal girl, and then, you know, they all become friends. It's fun.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never watched any variety shows or reality shows. Well, I don't watch them, like, even in American television, so I just don't watch them. I like things to be fake. But
I don't know, I feel like with the Korean reality shows, because I'm watching Yoon's Kitchen, and they basically go to different places in the world
mm-hmm.
and start a new kitchen and a restaurant and see how well they do. And there's very little, like, in the way of, like, let's start an argument for the argument's sake, and there's not a lot of that, so I'm like, oh, let's learn how to cook bibimbap and serve it in Tenerife in Spain, and it is basically, you know, that.
Well, yeah, if there really is no drama, then that's great. I'm totally
on
board for that.
Park Seo-jin was on?
I don't know. Yeah, I've only seen 3 episodes.
I just remember seeing, like, screenshots of him, like, cooking in a kitchen and, like, clearly not Korea. So, it sounds like that.
It's also beautiful. Like they don't even have to deal with any of the setup of the restaurant. The restaurant's already there. Everything in the kitchen is there. You know, everything's been decorated for them. They don't do anything except, you know, basically.
Is that the one with Chong Yumi and Lee Sun-jin, I think?
Well, I was watching the second season, and so it's a different cast, I think.
Oh,
group of people. I mean, the Yoon is still here. But, you know, she has a different, what they call an assistant. I'm doing that in quote marks.
Mm.
So do you want to go into what else you're watching, Alex?
Oh, yeah, I'm watching Signal. I'm really, it's crazy, 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 thrilling. Oh, my God.
Yeah, just because you said you were watching Signal, I watched the first episode, and now I'm 20 minutes into the second episode. But so far, it's very exciting.
But, you know, it's really thrilling. I really get into it. I mean, the first one is sort of like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going on. So just like a little bit of a ramp-up time. But by the time you get to I think there's even a timer clock, counting down the minutes near the end, and you just get so caught up into it by the end of the episode. It's really, really good. And then I've watched, the next, I think, two episodes after that where it's a very similar situation where there's no, timer countdown, but there's still, basically communicating with the past to try and figure out murders in the present.
Right.
So, very, very thrilling. Lots of cliffhangers, so it's great for binge watching.
Yeah.
Because you're going to want to know what happens in the next episode. I was up until 5:30 in the morning watching it.
I was really stressed because I thought it was going to be, because, it's basically frequency, right?
That's frequency.
Yeah. And so I thought that it was going to be the whole show was going to be solving this crime. And so then I was like, oh my god, how badly are they going to fuck up in the first episode that I'm going to have to watch this 15 more times? And then thankfully by the end of the first episode, I was like, oh, okay, good. It's not like this. Now I can relax. But
it's such a well-paced and directed drama and written in that, they have your big overarching mystery for the entire season,
mm-hmm.
but they have enough mini arcs built in that you get that satisfaction every couple episodes of them solving cases.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it in getting exactly the right pacing for that is difficult. To not make you drag out for too long, but not wrap up things too quickly either, and I feel like they really nail it. Single.
Yeah, it's so good. I was kind of hoping I could watch some more before the phone call. But I had to go to work, so no.
Sad.
I remember that there's been some rumors on and off about a season 2. It was 2016 and still it's not confirmed yet. They talk about it every so often, but
is the whole season solving one crime?
No. Oh, no. There's more than one crime in Korea that they need to solve.
there's one big overarching mystery of what happened to this one of the main characters.
There's a thread that goes through all the episodes. But I don't want to say each episode because it's not really each episode. But there is separate stories where they, they're basically cold case people who are trying to solve problems mm-hmm. from the past. And story, there's a bunch of stories in the midst of this longer thread. Mm-hmm. I think 16 episodes, so there's, I don't know. I watched the first three, so I think there's at least two complete murder mystery stories that are solved.
Signal is the drama that I would put anybody down in front of to be K-drama's gonna appeal to anybody.
Right.
Because there's not, it's so well done. And it makes a lot of lists like that. So I guess none of you were far enough into it to, because Signal's got such a mostly serious tone the whole way through. There was something about 2016. I know that, BBC Sherlock was a thing in Korea before then, but there were two BBC Sherlock references in K-dramas in 2016, and Signal was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a random scene. The tonally didn't fit, though. It was so weird. It was the younger guy's character. Lee Ji-hyun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have his name entirely right. He's, stuck on something. He's up on the roof trying to, puzzle it all out in his brain, and they just play the, BBC Sherlock theme.
There was a scene, how you put, the murder suspects or the witnesses or something in a crime scene, you put their picture on, a wall, and you have, you put, thumbtacks on their pictures, and you have, string connecting them. There was literally one where, I wasn't sure if it was Matt Smith, but definitely somebody cosplaying as Matt Smith's doctor. And I thought, that's hilarious. It was one, because he's, pulling up all the photos down. He's angry. He can't hear what's happening. And I was like, wait, what was that, Matt Smith?
Another plug for Signal is, spot the nerdy BBC references. it's a fantastic drama. It was really well done.
It was really good. I was surprised.
Yeah, you're in for a ride. They never let me down. And that's not usually my speed. If there's not a romance, that's what I'm generally into K-dramas for, is it's very rare that I watch a K-drama that I'm not going to get any romance out of. And I watched it partially, again, because I was escaping in-laws at Thanksgiving. But then I was hooked on it. I was now I'm being antisocial through the holidays because I'm on my phone watching Signal.
I have to confess, I saw one episode of Oh My Ghostess.
That one is so good. It's everything rolled into one. It's romance, comedy, horror, suspense, everything.
But I have to say, like, the chef guy, like, immediately I was like, who is this dude? This girl, like, faints and you're, well, I didn't know she was an employee, but she, like, you know, faints and the doctor says she needs to be admitted, and then you, and then she disappears and you're like, oh, well. Like, what? Who are you?
You have to keep watching.
Yeah, he gets much better. He's, but yeah, at first it's like, this douche, but he grows just like she does. They grow together.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens, like, there's a lot of this, it's like Beauty and the Beast, right? Beauty takes the Beast, so it's like having this romance will, like, civilize this person. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that's a funny thing, too, that it helps that they're all, like, really young people, and they're still, like, growing as people. But I just thought it was funny, because I was like, this is, I'm pretty sure this is the guy she's interested in, but I was like, why?
I'm not sure why Bob Sloan likes him. We know what Kim Sil-hee's character is there for.
She just wants one thing.
I mean, I do think his, I mean, one, the K-dramas are really into their, I think what's the term they pulled off of J-dramas, like the tsundere characters, like hold on the outside, warm on the inside. They're really, really into that. And but I also think in Oh My Ghost's case, it was an attempt to establish like how shy he was. Because that comes into play later in the drama with him determining who is it, which one is he really in love with,
right?
Like, which one did he really connect with? And so I think giving him that social awkwardness at the beginning was like an attempt to lay that groundwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he plays this arrogant hotshot chef who has a soft heart. He's really soft inside, and you see that coming out through Park Bo Young, who does a fantastic job playing.
Yes, she's so good.
She's so adorable when Kim Sil-hee is in her body.
And I need her to do another K-drama, because like I loved her so much in that and in Strong Woman, Do Bun-sun. So now I'm like, where is she? Why won't she be?
Have you watched A Werewolf Boy yet?
No, I have not.
Well, go watch that.
Okay.
That'll talk about her a little bit. It's on Vicky.
A Werewolf Boy? All right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in and that?
Yeah, she's the main person.
Interesting.
Wolf, she's not the werewolf.
I was going to say, she's not the werewolf boy.
No, she's the, like, main female lead.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that good?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
All right. Speaking of things that you've told me to watch, I am currently watching Just Between Lovers, which I was like, as I was, because I'm on episode, I just finished episode 5 of that one. And then I turned to Signal, and I was like, oh, I'm sensing a theme here. I'm just going to be watching depressing dramas about sad deaths right now. But it's really good so far. Like, it's really, like, atmospheric, I guess, right? The whole thing is just like, how are these people feeling at the moment? But I really like the leads a lot, and I guess I'm waiting to see what the second male lead is going to do to make his shippingness go away. Like, because I don't ship it, but I feel like they've done, like, a really good job of, like, making him seem appealing for the female lead, so I'm like, when's this gonna go wrong?
And I do feel like that they do it in a way that is both, like, believable that he's still generally the good person that he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe not entirely... And I don't even know if it's meant... It turned me off a lot more. I don't know how much it's meant to turn viewers off, because he just gets really proprietary.
Oh, right. Here. Yeah. I mean, like, there was one point where he was like, you belong to me, so, or you're mine, so, like, don't be apologizing to my brother-in-law or whatever. And I was like, I know that probably just means you're my employee and not his, but it was like, that sounds really weird.
He pulls that on her later when he can tell that they're both really into each other. Yeah. He's like, but I'm into you, and I'm gonna know that he's looking for you and not tell you that, like, so that I can. And he later comes out and says it, like, I like you, and I don't like that, like, when you're around him, and she just doesn't have time for that, because Mason doesn't have time for that. So, yeah. Did you get to the scene? I can't remember which episode it's in, but where... They, like, you under the bus. Like, he grabs her hand and runs through the bus, and then she, like, runs to the back of the bus and watches him.
I definitely saw a scene where she was watching him from the back of the bus, and then she got off the bus and ran after him. I don't think hands were involved.
Yeah, no, there's another one where, like, there, he's walking her to the bus stop, and then he, like, it's, because when you describe it, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal at all, but it is how well directed the show is, and it was still, felt, like, incredibly romantic in the moment, where, she's gonna be late for the bus, and he, like, he grabs her hand, and they run really, and he runs.
It's
one of the first times that they, like, hold hands.
Okay, well, then I definitely have not seen that yet.
Yeah, she gets on the bus, but then runs all the way to the back of it and stands there so that she can, like, watch him, like.
Aww. That's
as
cute.
She goes away, and I was just like,
It's cute, because at first it was really antagonistic, especially on his side. Like, he was, like, really standoffish with her. But then, obviously, now it's, like, he still tries to be that way, but they obviously get along much better, so.
And he's trying to stand off with everybody, that's his character.
Yeah, that's his thing. That's his thing.
Because he blames himself.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I guess that's, like, sort of spoiler, but, like, the last episode that I saw, the last thing that I saw is, like, they both blame themselves for the same person's death. And I was like, oh, okay.
Most of them blames herself for her sister's death. Well,
yes.
And then there's a flash. There's an alternate universe scene later in the drama where, like, they imagine, like, what if this disaster had never happened? And the part that, like, kills me is that, because they love flashing back to the moment where he, like, knocked on the glass to get her attention.
Yes.
And in that, but, like, that knock on the glass, even though that obviously is not what made them all collapse.
Right. Which is my favorite part about, like, watching with Vicky comments, because Vicky commenters are so dumb. So they're like, oh my god, he made the building collapse! Like,
he did not. But in the, like, what if universe, he doesn't knock on the window. And I'm like, oh, he thinks that if he hadn't done that...
The building wouldn't have collapsed! Also, the other thing that Vicky commenters say is, why is the sister just standing and waving while the building is falling down? That's not really happening, guys. It's just the last image she remembers of her sister. But anyway.
Jessica Lovers is another really unusual drama for me because it is very sad and there's a lot of suffering, but it's just that romantic. It's that romantic, and, I mean, I'm going to spoil it has a happy ending because I wouldn't be here if it didn't. Like,
right. You'd be like, throw the whole drama away.
I almost did. My god, they cut it close.
Yeah.
And I was, like, so panicked. Like, I wasn't even enough time to be angry. I was so panicked that I thought, wait, that they're not going to do this for me. The internet lied to me. Like, what is happening?
That's... Has anyone here seen the Korean drama version of The Good Wife? I think it's called Perfect Wife. I don't know. Because I cannot watch it unless I know if they get together or not at the end. Because, like, he already died on the American version, so I don't need to watch an unhappy version of it.
I don't think I'm going to watch that drama, so I will go find out for you and then tell you.
There you go. Thank you. Because so I've just, like, seen, like, people's feelings on it, but it seemed really convoluted. Like, I couldn't tell if it was, like, it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and then it does at the very end, or if it looked like it was going to happen, and then it didn't at the very end. It's one or the other.
Right?
Yes?
Did she tell you the guy from Healer?
Oh, yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought about it. It's just, again, generally, like, angst, drama, whatever, are not my thing, so it doesn't appeal, but I will find out for you.
Thank you.
You can watch. So, I guess now we can move to talking about currently airing dramas that nobody's watching right now, because we're not watching. I have ones on my radar. The two big ones that are on my radar right now are Pretty Nuna, Who Buys Me Food, and Walk of Love is on strength of Shinho, because he was so good in Just Three Lovers. And update on Pretty Nuna, Who Buys Me Food, because last time we talked about this on Pop a la Carte, we were all angry because it's not available in the States, because Netflix bought the rights for it, and Netflix likes to buy the exclusive rights to a drama and then not release it until some indeterminate period after the drama's finished airing. Which is counter to how most of K-drama English-speaking internet watches their dramas, which is a live watch. And it's very annoying because Netflix just got its first exclusive rights to a Korean variety show called Busted, and they are managing to put that episode up every week as it airs, and subtitle it. So they'll do it for a variety show, but not for a drama. So, fuck you, Netflix.
Bottom line, that's for Cody's second season. They're putting it airs in Korea, too, yeah.
So they'll do it for variety shows, but they won't do it for dramas, which seems backwards to me. Like, I feel like Yeah. We like variety shows. We don't care if we wait till the season's over, but like people want the show is it's airing. So the update with Pretty Nuna is that Drama Fever has now announced it will be on Drama Fever on May 26th, which is once it's done airing, which is the rumored date I heard that it will be up on Netflix as well. So I guess maybe it'll be up. Netflix hasn't officially announced it because they're like, we're going to buy this rights and not tell you we're going to air it. But I would assume that maybe it'd be going up on both. So that's good. I'm glad. Because I think if there are people that do it on Netflix, they're on Drama Fever. I am pissy. I'd rather it be on Vicky because Vicky is the one that probably wouldn't try to translate Nuna. But I feel like Netflix and Drama Fever are both going to attempt to translate Nuna and it's going to be weird. Because it's Nuna's sister and it's really, but they're dating. So I'm like, I don't know. That one, by all reports, is really good from like when I see people reacting to it. So, because they're getting, if it's going to be done airing in a couple weeks, then they're hitting the point when dramas often start off strong but then start slow. But it doesn't sound like Pretty Nuna's doing that yet, so hooray!
That's always good.
It's by a really good team. Like, I watched Secret Love Affair by them, which was a couple that you didn't really want to root for because they were both bad people. There was a 20-year age gap between characters, but it was supposed to be bad. Like, it was this whole thing. But it did not flop midway through. Like, it was a very well-sustained through show.
Yeah, the actress is pretty well-known, too. She's very famous.
In Pretty Nuna?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. She hasn't been in dramas in a long time, either. I know her most from movies. I mean, I remember her from Personal Taste with Lee Min-ho.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
That's like, I was just rewatching bits of that. It's funny how much dramas, just like the production, has changed. Because I was, just this past week, because of her, I was rewatching parts of Personal Taste, and I was like, that was like my mid, you know, when I got in mid-2000s, like, the whole style is totally different than it is now. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's, some of it is just camera quality. We're being super honest. But there's something about this, I think it's the soundtracks as well, because it was just, like, mid-2000s music style, like, what K-pop sounded then, and what K-pop sounds like now. So that's some of it. It's a lot of that. I think it's drama cues with certain songs. Every K-drama has, you know, its soundtrack, and they play, you know, the same handful of songs over and over again, but I feel like something with mid-2000s dramas, they really queued up certain songs, and they really were having, like, a very specific feel that they were doing with each, like, you knew exactly how you're supposed to feel based on which song they picked, and the song just and just even, it's not as slick, they're a lot more slick now, sometimes to their detriment. It was
using
not just like it wasn't as fast. The editing wasn't as fast. Pacing wasn't fast. They took their time. They were much more slice of life. You still get a lot of slice of life ones, but like even the rom, sort of the trendy rom coms were still evolving. I think at the time, I don't know. It's hard to put my exact finger on it.
Yeah, that's true. Now they look like movies. The quality.
Yeah. Yes. I tried to get my friend to watch Coffee Prince because I wanted her to see Gong Yoo and I didn't want her to watch Goblin. So I was like, you should start with Coffee Prince. And she was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's just like, the camera's just weird. The camera work is just weird. It just looks old. Like, it's because it is old. So then she started watching Goblin instead. She's like, this is much better.
Yeah, it's like a camera thing. But, you know, it's a good story when you get into it.
Yep.
I have Queen and Yen's Man is the only drama that I own, like, DVDs for. I wanted to be able to watch it even if, like, my internet was broken.
Wow.
So dedication. I found these DVDs on, like, Amazon, and I think they're, like, Malaysian. Like, I think that's where they're from. And so not only is it 2012, where the camera quality isn't as good, but it is on, because they got the entire series on a little disc, and I think it's, like, black market. Like, I really don't know. Like, so I lent it to my friend and tried to get her to watch it, and she was like, the camera quality is just so bad. But I heard, actually, I don't know when you told your friend to watch Coffee Prince, but Vicky, I feel like they, like, remastered.
Really?
I was rewatching clips of it again, and I think it looks better than it used to, and I just had its 10-year anniversary last year, so maybe they were like, let's give it a facelift. So maybe try it. Yeah, maybe try that again.
All right.
So other dramas currently, like Walk with Love / Greasy was the other one, and yeah, I was there for Juno. Apparently, it's also got food porn, so I'm a fan of that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because, like, I'm pissed off at Let's Eat 3, and I'm like, you will not lure me back. I loved Let's Eat, and they did Let's Eat 2, and they were like, same dude, but he has a new girlfriend, and I'm like, no,
I hate that. I can't live like that.
They sucked me in for the food porn, and they're doing it again. I was like, no, I will boycott you this time. So I was like, I can watch this one instead. But that's, yeah, the one where I'm like, I'm really going to wait till it's over because it's really not clear.
Yeah.
Who's the lead of that show? Him or Jaehyuk?
Yes.
I want it to be Junho, but at the same time, then I feel as if Brian really torn when I heard that Jaehyuk said he wants to be Emerald Gums and people don't offer him Emerald Gums anymore because he's 41. And I'm like, oh. But then I was also like, really? Because I feel like they have no problem with the guys being older. They just don't want the women to be above.
He's just too old.
What about that new one, Mister? Isn't the lead in his 40s and IU's in her 20s? And...
Yes, supposedly they're not a romance.
Oh, it's not a romance?
It's supposedly, like, more or less, I mean, it's almost done airing, I think. But I think they were like, it's more Lost in Translation style. Like, it is still a little bit like, he's really sad about his life, and she's really sad about his life, and through meeting each other, they... like, find a reason, like, not a reason to live again, but, like,
a reason to
engage in their lives again.
Uh-huh.
Still pisses me off that, like, it's gotta be dated. There's actually a John Cho movie on Hulu that's very similar plot called Columbus, where it's, like, he's got ennui and she's got ennui and she's, like, a fucking college student and he's John Cho's age, and I'm like, no! Like, stop it! Like, I don't, okay, I'm glad that you're not in a romantic relationship, fine, but, like, still, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know, I saw some screen caps from Maya Shashi today, and, like, I don't know, it sounds like it's gotten, like, there's a crime happening.
There's a crime happening?
She's hacking people. I'm like, I have no idea what's going
on. So they team up to fight crime, to fight their ennui by solving crime.
Is there anyone listening to this who's actually watching my screaming right?
Not what it's about.
Ones on my radar that I think the summary sounds good or I question on the summary and then I wait until it's over and then I kind of, even without getting spoilers, I can get enough chatter about it to see. So if the chatter about Maya Shashi is good enough, because it sounds like everybody's saying IU is doing really well and I like that because people tend to be really hard on K-pop actresses. And she's one that like fans like to hate on a lot for acting, so I'm all here for her doing really well. And Lee Sang-young, of course, as always.
Yeah. I want to watch.
Prince, right?
Yes, oh yes.
He's in Coffee Prince too. He's in Coffee Prince.
Wait, who was that? Is that the one from My Wife's Having an Affair also?
Yes.
Ah, I love him.
The voice.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
He's always welcome on my screen. I was just like, I'm really giving everybody involved in this, even though like even the cast after the first like two or three episodes aired, the cast like gave interviews and they were like, this is not a romance, and I'm like, still side eyeing you. There's still no reason like, he can't hang it like. And I wouldn't be so oversensitive if we didn't have such, this age is a problem,
mm-hmm.
when, like, there's so many times you just don't see actresses in their late 30s.
Right.
Like, they're in their late 30s, they disappear for a while, and then they're allowed to come back as, like, moms.
Right.
And then grandmas after that. And so that's why I'm so, like, generally there is nothing wrong with two care, like, any representation issue, right? Where, like, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with it most of the time in itself in that individual story, but when, you know, the underrepresented group is never getting a shot, then you're more sensitive to it, and that's why Greasy Mellow / Walk of Love is such an interesting case, because, like, Juno is, like, 27, but Jung Ryo Won, the female lead, is, like, 37, and I remember she just gave an interview for her drama, in the fall, which is Court,
mm-hmm.
I remember her saying, she's like, so my, like, people older than me, like other actresses, had told me, like, when you hit, like, 35, the offers dry up, and she's like, and it did happen to me, and then she was so grateful that she had gotten the offer for, which is Court, for that, so she's talked about it, and here she is, the female lead in this romance again, so that's exciting, and then it's not clear who, so after Jang Hook gave that interview, and he was like, I'm sad nobody offered me rom-coms, even though I'm really in love with Junho right now, and the strength of Just Between Lovers, now I'm kind of like,
mm-hmm.
aw. And he actually is closer in age to Actually, it sounds like that drama could end either way, and I would be happy.
Well, maybe whoever doesn't get her will have their own love interest. I always prefer that. I'm like, can't someone else, can't they just get a second love interest?
Another plug for Strongest.
Everybody pairs up, right?
Exactly. Everyone can be happy.
Plug for Strongest Delivery Man, because that ends all of that, all the love coin triangles in a very, very satisfying
way. Oh, good. I want to see Suits, because I did watch the American version of Suits, and that is one where I would be interested to see whose story they're really telling. Because I know it's Park Hyung-sik as the Mike character, and then dude I don't know, Jang Dong-gun. I don't know this person.
I just remember the drama being ladies on their podcast once saying this guy's like George Clooney levels in Korea. And it's like,
in Korea. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And usually when you're that famous, you don't do dramas. Drama schedules are terrible. Like, on Goblin, they had like Gong Yoo and Lee Dong Wook were both like hospitalized for like exhaustion. They're like going like IDs in.
Oh, wow.
So, like, if you're Jang, if you're, like, George Clooney levels of famous, why would you do a drama?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the last drama he did was 2012, A Gentleman's Dignity. So it is, it has been a while. Yeah. But yeah, so I want to see if they tell Mike's story for all 16 episodes, or if Harvey eats the show, because that's definitely what happened in the American version. Not that I have anything against Harvey. I just, as a, you know, just, like, for science, I want to know what they choose to do.
I mean, you know, the way that they do the K-dramas is that they film them all in one big, long thing, and then they air them. So I know that for a lot of American shows, sometimes they'll pivot in the middle of the season based on audience response.
Right. And that doesn't happen in...
So I don't know if they're... They may start with the same premise, but I don't know if they're going to do the same thing.
Right, because the question, because, like, it's been 7 years, you know? So, like, are they starting from the first season and they're like, we're just going to tell the story that was originally going to be told? Or are they like, oh, I want to tell this random story in season 4. I don't know.
Yeah, with only 16 episodes, yeah. It would be interesting to see. Or they just take the premise and then just do completely their own thing with it.
They can do whatever they want.
So, I haven't seen enough, actually, American adaptations to know, like, what K-dramas usually do with that.
Yeah, I'm just doing the reverse with Good Doctor. And every time I'm like, oh, that was in Good Doctor!
I eventually dropped Good Doctor in the American one.
Oh, really?
I eventually got tired of it. Yeah, aww. Like, only the last couple episodes. I think they were making it all about his, like, old mentor guy, and I didn't care. I was really interested in Claire, like, trying to take down the, like, sexually harassed doctor, and then it seemed like that got shelved for, like, Sean and his man. I mean, I guess he's the lead, whatever. But, like, he's sad because his, like, mentor's dying and he's, like, acting badly because of it. And I was like, I don't care. I want to watch this plot line. And then I stopped.
I understand.
So, yeah.
If you want to do a little bit of Me Too-ing, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I could. I guess I feel like I don't have a lot, like, maybe I shouldn't because I don't really know what I'm talking about because I don't, like, really, like, I don't have all the articles in front of me. I read things and sometimes it's been years since I read this. And I don't remember, because that's the thing, like, the current Korea Me Too movement that I've been reading some articles about does not incorporate all the boys who are on my shit list.
Right.
But I guess that's maybe something that we could say, speaking of the ageism, is that, like, the Me Too thing that Korea has going on right now, which is not at all, just like ours, exclusive to the film industry, all of the names that I had seen associated with it who have been taken down or at least accused as a result of it have been older, like old gut, like 50s, 60s.
Oh, wow.
Whereas you have got, like, Park Shi-hyo, again, I don't remember the details of his case, but everybody that I've said, I mean, everybody who hates, like, so I guess people are biased, everybody who hates him has decided that he's done it, but it sounded like he was, like, convicted of something, at least. So he only had to put his head down for a few years, because that's the whole thing, everybody in the Me Too movement, everybody's so worried about, oh, what about these careers that are being ruined, and it's like, well, Park Shi-hyo put his head down for a few years, and then it took him a couple dramas to build back up, but first of all, he got roles again after a couple years, and then he then built his way up to his most recent drama that just ended, but had, like, it was the highest rated at the time.
Oh, wow.
In Korea. So, like, obviously, nobody had a problem seeing this dude on their screens. And I just saw, like, a headline yesterday that he's offered the lead in some rom-com, and I'm like, I don't fucking want to see this guy. I don't know.
That's like Mel Gibson with his such terrible, terrible behavior, and then, I don't know how long he was gone, maybe 5-10 years, and then that was, then he showed up in one of the new, Stepfather videos, or Dad videos, with Will Ferrell, and everything is fine.
Right.
I don't know, but usually in, like, things like this, or sexual harassment, or accusations of sexual harassment, the men usually turn out fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Roman Polanski is still making movies. People still give him money.
Mm-hmm.
He may be kicked out of the Academy, but that doesn't mean he's going to stop making movies.
Right. Yeah, and it took forever to pick him out.
With the Korean actors who are accused, I especially, I always believe women anyway, but I especially believe women in these cases because there have been some very famous examples where the women are getting countersued by the men that they accuse, and they're getting sentenced and convicted, in some cases, some like jail time and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so why on earth would a woman accuse a famous celebrity for no reason if it wasn't true? Because she's risking, like, jail,
right,
court, and convicted, criminal convictions. So she's not doing it for fame unless she's super insane. And I'm sorry, I don't believe that many women are that super insane. Like, because you have Lee Jin-wook, and he was just in Return, and Return was a trash fire to begin with for other reasons that I'm not even into here. With the way the lead actress was treated, it's this whole thing. He was accused of sexual assault, and the court found him not guilty based on no evidence. Like, the judge was basically like, we just don't have enough evidence to convict you. So he turned around and tried to sue her for, like, false accusations, and the judge was like, well, we don't have enough evidence, so we can't prove that, you can't prove that she's lying either. That wasn't good enough for him. He found another court and countersued her more. And this only took place over a couple of years, so again, it wasn't like his career, like, taken this huge note. He's in a show now, like, and then you have Park Yoon-shun, who hasn't actually done any acting since all this went over, but there's multiple women who came forward and accused him of stuff, and he tracked each and every one of them down, and his lawyers were saying, like, I don't even remember, but terrible, terrible things about these women, and I was just like, no, you're done, don't ever want to see you again. And that makes it hard, because I'm saying before we started recording, I love Sung Hyung Kwang Scandal, is one of my all-time favorite K-dramas, one of my all-time favorite top couples, and I'm like, I don't, like, it's such a good cast, but now he sullies it. But,
yeah.
Like, what do you do, especially because, like, this back was 2010, when that drama was recorded, so, like, it's one thing to maybe be like, I don't want to support you going forward, but, like,
what do you do retroactively?
But if I go on Vicky and watch Sung Hyung Kwang Scandal, like, nobody involved in that show is getting any money.
Right.
So, what does it really hurt?
Yeah, and as long as you can watch it and look at him, then I don't think that it's, like, wrong for you to be able to enjoy that.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, when I was watching because this is my first life, you had already told me about a little bit of the scandal with the lead there, so, like, that already happened. And so every time I watched it, I was like, oh, I feel weird, but I really enjoy the show, so sorry.
Even if he totally isn't, I could never find details about whether or not, because ultimately, like, what the accuser had come forward and said, oh, she gave the wrong name, but then I could never find, again, I can only speak English, so maybe there are articles in Korean about this, but I couldn't find anything that said whether they went for anybody else.
Right.
Because to me, that's the biggest thing. Like, as to whether or not this is true, is, like, did she really mistakenly say his name, and then said the right name, and then they went after that person, but if they haven't found anybody, that makes me a lot more suspicious.
Yeah.
And it's just super unfortunate, I feel like even if he's innocent, that's a poor casting choice anyway. Like, just maybe cast somebody who doesn't have a sexual assault scandal for a drama that wants to talk a lot about sexual assault.
Right.
Even if he is innocent, maybe don't do that.
Just for the PR part.
Sorry, go ahead.
A lot of times in Korea, it's the head screenwriter, or the scriptwriter, who chooses the cast. So, you know, like Kim Min-suk, she's very famous, right, for writing Descendants of the Sun and Goblin. Mm-hmm. And they usually handpick the lead actors. So maybe he has connections with, you know, the screenwriter from past projects or something. Yeah. That's probably how they get their way back in.
Yeah. Could. Yeah, that makes
sense. He had been offered the lead in Tomorrow With You, which was a time travel one with Shimina, but that was close to when his scandal happened, so then he, like, his representation, like, they all bowed out, because they were like, you gotta keep your head down a little bit longer, and so then, because this is my first life, because it came later, was his comeback, and it's just funny, because I'm like, you should take it Tomorrow With You. Like, it would have been easier to put all this out of my mind, but Tomorrow With You because it doesn't talk about sexual assault. Uh-huh. But then we got the Dimple Squad in Tomorrow With You with Shimina and Lee Ji Hyun from Signal. It's the lead from Signal. They both had a younger guy from Signal as guy Tomorrow With You. Yeah. So they were dimples together and I'm like, make babies.
Make
little dimple babies. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's also like with the level of the crime too, in terms of like whether I can just watch it even if I'm not actually actively giving anybody monies.
Honestly, that's probably my problem with Song Byung-kwan scandal. It's not even just all this. It's some of the few details that I remember about Yoon-chan. There's, like, just something, like, a bathroom fetish that's going around. Like, apparently some of these alleged assaults took place in bathrooms, and he previously posted on his social media. Like, he would draw pictures of them and, like, talk about their just, like, such a calming place. And I'm like, so I can't watch this drama.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, I look at your face and I just see, like, a toilet.
That's really weird.
I'm not selling Song Byung-kwan scandal at all, which is sad because it's such a good drama.
I know, it is a good drama.
Just don't think about toilets when you're watching it.
I mean, at least it's like a historical piece, so there won't be any toilets. So that helps. There are no modern bathrooms.
Okay. Safe.
I do recommend it. It's really good. The rest of the cat. I mean, he's good. He's probably the weakest link just in terms of like the strength of his acting.
Mm.
Park Min Young, the two second leads are the strongest because it's
Yoo. Oh, Yoo Ah-in, right?
And Song Joong Ki. I ship them so much. Oh my god. Like, they actually won a Best Couples Award. Yoo Ah-in and Song Joong Ki for Song Joong Ki and Scandal.
For their friendship. Yeah.
Friendship.
Quotation.
I would pretty definitively say Song Joong-ki plays it as being at least half in love with Yoo Ah-in's character. Like, I would say that. Especially because they're dealing with that a little bit. Because when Park Hyun-jun's character is, like, struggling with the fact that he's attracted to Park Min-young. Because we're supposed to believe that nobody can realize that Park Min-young isn't a woman. Like, I'm sorry. But he's struggling with his attraction to who he thinks is a man. He does go to Song Joong-ki and they talk about it a little bit. And it's pretty heavily implied that, like, Song Joong-ki knows where he's coming from.
I didn't catch that. Maybe I should watch it again.
You should have
picked up Song Joong-ki's character in that show.
He's really fun in that one. It's a very good drama. All four of them are really adorable together, just as like a unit, as friends, and I will probably put them in my OT3, but I'll make it an OT4 article just because I'm
OT4! Like that. The more the merrier.
That's probably enough of that, because I feel like, again, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth and talk about things I don't really know. So, we can wrap it up with happier things, which is, we're all going to say some of our favorite tropes with K-drama, because, you know, Signal being one of the many exceptions, generally we are here for the romance, and those are all our lovely romance tropes. So, I guess I can start. Two of my favorites are forced cohabitation, although, like, especially in the vein of everything we were just talking about, I have to have very specific, like, it has to be case by case. Like, I don't want... We call it forced cohabitation to make it sound like they're forced to live together.
Right.
Like that. Like, I want everyone to be of their own free will.
Happenstance cohabitation. Just, yeah, like, circumstantial cohabitation.
They're really good friends, and one of them worms their way into the other one's apartment for some reason, and the one who owns the apartment puts up a fuss, but obviously they're into it or they wouldn't want this to happen. So, which is what you drive me crazy, which is like a lot. She's like, oh no, my apartment's flooded, and he's like, the last time you stayed here when you had another problem with your apartment, and you said it would be 2 or 3 days, and you were here for like 4 weeks. And I was like, yes, this is what I want, which you're letting her say. So, I really like that one, because I like that proximity. I do feel like the double-edged sword for me with forced cohabitation is that they often, then they stop living together, and then I'm sad.
Withdrawals.
They get together, and then, like, they're cute when they're not together, but they're living together, and they're really, really cute, but they're not romantically together, and then they get romantically together, and they're not living together anymore. It's almost always how it happens when I think. I hate that. I'm like, no, like, live together and be cute. Come on. So I kind of really feel a little bit about a lot of dramas that start with the premise of, like, a one-night stand for characters.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the ones that I've seen that have that premise, then they, like, are never with each other for the rest of the drama a lot of the times. And I'm like, so they want to be, like, saucy. You know, they want to, like, have quote-unquote adult themes in the drama, but then have their, like, eat their cake, too, of still being chased with a weak couple, and I hate that.
Right. Like,
but they slept together already, so let them sleep together again. Oh, okay. And the other one I really love, which is also this You Drive Me Crazy show that I watched today, is Friends to Lovers as well, because I really... I think K-dramas, too, have ruined me. I've been watching K-dramas for, like, 10 years now, and they've ruined me for... I expect really high, deep levels of development between two romantic leads before I can ship them, because I'm so spoiled. Like, you really get to see their relationship develop really well, and I... With Friends, I like that even more, because even K-dramas, sometimes, it can still feel sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really want to see, like... I want to see them get along. I want to see them be friends, and then I want to, like... So... I don't have any examples off the top of my
just
head.
Just a sucker for healthy really relationships.
Yep. So, those are some of my favorite drama tropes. Somebody else?
Well, you know, with, because I love sci-fi, I always like the time travel ones.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that would be a thing that people would get into, you know?
There's so many of them.
Let's go back to medieval Korea. Mine, you know.
Queen of Pen's Man.
And that was romance.
Apart. Another one, Samdong Lights Palace, something deserving of the name.
Right.
It's a lot like Queen of Pen's Man. Still not available anywhere legally in the U.S. That drama aired last August. I don't know what's happening in the world. Like,
I think in Queen of Pen's Man, he's way too smart to be that much of a fish out of water, but there's all that element too, where they're like,
what?
Is this a cell phone? What is this? Magic.
Compared to a lot of the other time travel ones that I've seen, he's not a fish out of water for that long. Like Rooftop Prince, also with Yoon-jung, that one, like half that drama is fish out of water. They're really dumb. Like they just play it for the like dumb laughs for a really long time. So in comparison to other ones that I've seen, he actually doesn't for that. Like he figures out most of it in an episode.
Yeah, Queen and Nancy Band, he figures it out almost immediately. He's like, wait, what's happening? And then he's like, oh, I must have traveled in time. Like, that's the most logical thing that's happened.
It's his Holmesian explanation, right?
Yeah.
Like, once you've eliminated the impossible, whatever it may be, but he's like, well, I mean, I guess that's gotta be it.
Yeah, that's what I liked about that character, is that he's not dumb.
Yeah.
And, like, he does things that are ill-advised, but not dumb.
Yeah. That is, like, he's laser focused a little bit on one goal, and then kind of causes more trouble for himself later when he, and some of the, he makes some decisions because he's like so smitten with her, so he doesn't consider the ramifications of like visiting her all the time, but I can get behind that because I'm like, well, that's cute because it means he's so smitten, so I'm happy here.
My favorite trope is the one where the two lead characters start off on the wrong foot and they hate each other. But then there's like sexual tension, and then they can't admit their feelings for each other until a third party comes in, and then they realize they really like each other.
Mm-hmm. Enemies to lovers.
Yes. K-dramas are where I like enemies to lovers, because usually in American TV or, you know, movies in general, like, I don't like it because it just ends up looking toxic, but with K-dramas, it works out.
I think the best example is Boys Over Flowers.
Yes.
Have you seen
Kujunpyo hates, or Kujunpyo and Kim Jandi, they hate each other because he's the rich kid and she's the, you know, poor, she comes from poor working class, and then they realize she can't admit her feelings for him so much later, but yeah, I really enjoy that development of the romance.
Have you seen My Name is Kim Sansoon?
Oh yeah, is that what happened?
That's one I really like in that one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Where they, and I like, because they try, you see it similarly in Secret Garden later, where they're like enemies to lovers, but I thought My Name is Kim Sansoon was better because Kim Sansoon gave more back, I thought. Like, they were much more on equal footing in terms of, like, how they fought. Like, she didn't take any crap that you shoveled at her. I liked that a lot. Those are my favorite. Enemies to Lovers is my favorite one, because you see this in some K-dramas sometimes, where they do the enemies to Lovers, where, like, they kind of bicker. They do. She bickers back with him on some interpersonal levels, but then he, like, pushes her around in other ways, and she takes it. And I'm like, no. And she not, and then, my name is Kim Sensu, like, I have an eternal forever love for Kim Sana on the strength of that, because she's just so incredible.
Yeah, maybe it's because for women in those tropes, they stand up for themselves.
Yes.
Take crap from the men. Yeah. And then, yeah. I think that's why I like it.
Yeah. My favorite trope is just they knew each other as children. They're somehow connected by some strange event when they were children. And except for when they, like, randomly tell you at the end, like, spoiler alert for Shopping King Louie, I guess, like, in, like, the last two episodes, yeah. They're like, oh, when they were children. And I was like, no, you're lying to me, Steph. It's gotta be introduced in the first half of the drama, or else I don't believe it.
Yeah, you don't get to, like, throw it in there at the end. Like, oh, and by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they just like that faded connection sense of it. But yes. Like, no, you have to have laid the groundwork from the beginning.
Yeah. Here. But I
Lovers,
do.
For example.
Yes. Yes, in the very start, just 15 Lovers, it's there. And they even stick the other guy in there, too. So I'm like, all right, everyone's connected. I see.
Oh,
it's a very small town. But yes.
Well, it's Busan. It's Busan and just Korean Lovers, which is the second largest town in Korea.
So,
city in Korea.
But not in this drama.
Well, the point of it in just Korean Lovers is that if we're looking at the aftermath of this tragedy on the people that are affected by it.
Right.
So that's why we're seeing it. And they've all been, the people that we're seeing were drawn to this project.
Exactly. Because it's based on,
whether
yeah.
they randomly met, it was specifically like, they're now finally building on this ground again. Mm-hmm. It's the people who wanted to be involved in that work. Guess who shows up later in Disney Lovers? And is a shithead, just like he was in Queen Enhanced Man, is the Dongmin.
Oh my god! I really like that actor. He's really, like, enjoyable.
Yeah! I feel bad for him, because that just showed up in yet another drama I watched recently, like, this year. Mm-hmm. And in both cases, he just causes trouble for the leading couple. And I was like, Dongmin, get out of here. Like, go away, Dongmin. But I feel bad because he has a very affable face. Like, he's not as terrible in Just Between Lovers, but he does cause some tension between the two of them at a very critical moment early when they're, like, finally starting to realize they're, like, attracted to each other and, like, Kangdu is finally starting to let himself, like, open up to Moonsoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dongmin comes in, whatever his name is in the drama, I don't know. He comes in and, like, does something, and then, like, so Moonsoo runs away for more space. And I'm like, sorry, so I guess that's I could go on about this for a long time, but we try to keep anybody else have other drama stuff they want to talk about before we
sign off
things up? I guess that was slightly abrupt, but no, Alice, go ahead.
Well, now watched a few episodes of Oh My Ghosts and Signal, I won't be getting any sleep ever for the next couple. I can just see that happening. I mean, I'm already sick, so I might as well just stay in bed and watch all these new dramas.
The day I got a cell phone that was capable of having enough memory space for, like, the Viki app was a bad update for me, because then I could, like, go to bed early, but just watch dramas and bed on my phone. Which is not something I need to be doing, because I just spent all day, as much as possible, drama watching. So, I think that's... We're all done?
Yes, we are an hour and 1 minute, so this is the perfect time.
Wrap this up. Thank you everybody for tuning in to our second special K-drama podcast of Pop a la Carte. You can find us at We Are the Podcast of With an Accent.com, where we do news, reviews, editorials, other good stuff on genre and foreign entertainment. You can follow us under that Twitter handle or our Pop a la Carte Twitter handle. And you can find us on iTunes and
Google Play.
Google Play. I have Google Play. I'm the one who I have it for YouTube reasons, and it came with it.
Oh, there you go.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play at Pop a la Carte, and our Podomatic is also Pop a la Carte.
Yes.
So, thank you, everybody, and we will be back next week.
Bye!
Bye. Bye.